We have been looking at a series. We finished a series last week. The series called Miracles, where Pastor, brought a lot of truths from some of the miracles. We couldn't go through all the miracles. I think there are about 37 miracles recorded in the Bible that Jesus performed, and even many more, the Bible says, were not recorded in this book. Okay? So that's where we're going to be starting this morning. To our message of today, I mentioned that we have been talking about, we finished a series called Miracles, where we looked at the miracles of Jesus. And what I usually do when we go through a series, I believe strongly that every time Pastor, talks about a series or brings a message here, is because the Lord is pointing our attention to that particular area of our lives. There are times when it will come here and we'll do a series on marriage. We'll do a series on prayer. You know, he prays and he receives this word from God because that is what we need per time. So I use that opportunity to actually, even when this message, when the message series started, I didn't know I was going to preach today. But what I normally do is to just study a bit more. You know, if we are doing a book series, like maybe we're looking at the book of Acts, I go and read all the book of Acts. And, in doing that, I get some more truths, to join with what Pastor is teaching us. And also, it's like the Bible says that we need to be like the Berean Christians who go back and check these things to see if they are so. Okay, that's another benefit of doing that. And I always encourage people around me to do the same. So while going through this, God started opening my eyes to see a few more truths from some of the miracles that we've looked at and some of the ones we did not look at. So we're going to kind of dwell on this again this morning. It's not part of the miracle series. I'm just going to tag, on to that miracle series. And I want us to look at my first verse of the Bible this morning, Job chapter 14 and verse 14. And I have some of the Bible verses that I'm going to be referencing today. When I have the opportunity to share God's words like this, I actually want us to see the Bible. I want us to open as many scriptures as possible, because I discovered that a lot of people don't open their Bible. So when we come to church, let's open it. Let's see. Praise the Lord. So Job 14:14 says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Praise the Lord. So some of the things we established during the miracle series is the fact that miracles are divine intervention. So miracle is when God decides to act supernaturally on a particular situation. So you can see it as the hand of God, moving things that are not natural, okay? And we also established that miracles are for His glory. It's for His glory. It's like God's glory on display. It's like God showing off Himself. So we benefit from it, but it's actually to show forth the glory of God. And it's done out of love. It's done out of compassion. I don't want to go back to all the messages that Pastor have preached. If you miss any of those miracle series, is available on our website. All those messages are there. You can listen to it at your own time. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we also established that we have a part to play in making miracles happen. We look at the woman, the wedding in Galilee, when Jesus was invited to the wedding and he performed that miracle of turning water into wine. We looked at the fact that we have to invite Jesus into the situation. We look at the fact that we need faith. Last week, Pastor was talking about faith, that we need faith to receive, like that woman with the issue of blood. So, I'm sure you're wondering, what else does she want to talk about miracles this morning? Okay, all right, we are going to get there. But what I want to point your attention to firstly is the fact that miracles, although we are looking at it, things that happened thousands of years ago, miracles still happen today. In the hearts of the apostles, after Jesus have you know, ascended to heaven. When he died, he rose and he ascended to heaven. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. It says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as the Solomon's Colonnade. But the emphasis there is the apostles were performing many miraculous signs. So after Jesus left, miracles continued. And Mark 16, 17 to 18, when Jesus, you know, was leaving, it says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Mark 16, 17 to 18. It says, they will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. So he's saying that miracles is going to continue. We are even going to do miracles. Praise the Lord. So many miracles. Miracles of Pentecost, talking about the Holy Spirit. Miracles of various conversion. The miracle of the conversion of Paul. How awesome was that? Different miracles of healing. In fact, it got to a time that even the handkerchiefs of the apostles, they would take it to sick people and they would get healed. So miracles still happen. Miracles still happen. God still intervenes in situation right now. Praise the Lord. What I discover in my study is that when we have a request for miracles, you know, three answers, you know, usually come. The first answer is a yes, which is usually instant. You know, we saw that in different, you know, we saw Jairus' daughter, you know, that the dad went and asked Jesus to heal his daughter. And as soon as Jesus said that word, though he was not there physically with her, he got healed. That was an instant yes. I'm sure some of you have experienced instant yeses before to things that you can say, this is a miracle. This is God's hand. And also, when we have a request for miracles, there is sometimes an instant no from God, believe it or not. And I'm going to show you three places where Jesus actually declined to perform a miracle. Mark chapter 6. He says, the next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. And then they asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own relatives and his own family. And look at that. It says, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Praise the Lord. So miracles that don't have faith as a backdrop of it, There's sometimes an instant no. Praise the Lord. James 1, 6 to 7. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive what? Anything from the Lord. So that means you are asking in unbelief, you are doubting. Can God do it? Can God not do it? You know, we will not receive anything. Is that a yes or a no? That's a no. Praise the Lord. Also, number two is that a miracle. So the first miracle that receives an instant no is a miracle, a request that is done in unbelief or doubt, right? Number two, miracle that is requested for show, for entertainment, for self-gratification, for self-glorification or for competition. You know, it amazes me how, you know, in our society where people try to compete and outdo each other. You see someone organize a birthday party and the other one will go and hire a limousine, you know, just to beat the other person. And, you know, it's appalling to me sometimes, you know. Who are we trying to impress? Praise the Lord. That's the kind of miracles request that gets a no. And I can prove it from the scriptures. Mark chapter 8, verse 11 to 13. Says, then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in the spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. So they actually came with a request of a miracle. They said, show us a sign. Do something miraculous. Do something, you know, do some magic, you know, and let's see. Let's see if you're actually the Son of God. And Jesus said, no, he could have done it. Don't you think he could have done it? The Bible says with God, all things are possible. But when it comes to show off, when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to, you know, self-glorification, when the answer is no, we shouldn't be surprised. Praise the Lord. The third one that Jesus didn't do, these are kind of the miracles Jesus actually did not do, okay? Miracles that are against his will. Miracle that is contradicting his plan. And that's why when we pray, you know, our prayers, requests should be based on God's word. It should be based on what you are convinced of that God is telling you about. Praise the Lord. Mark 15, 29 and to 32. If you like, you can write these verses down. I just thought we're going to move a bit faster if we have the verses projected there and we can all see together. Mark 15, 29 to 32. It says, and those who passed by blasphemed him. Jesus was on the cross. He had all the power to come down from that cross. He had all the power to just say the word and destroy that whole nation and those people standing there. But look what happened. It says, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that he may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. You know, remember there were two robbers on his right and the left. Even they made fun of him. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, no. Despite the fact that he has all the power in the world to do it. So any miracle request that is not in line with his plan and purpose for your life is not worth requesting. Praise the Lord. Before I move on, because for our technical team, the title of my message is Waiting, Waiting for a Miracle. Waiting for a Miracle. Praise the Lord. So, we've established that miracles still happen. Sometimes we get a no when we make a request for a miracle. Sometimes we get an instant yes. But also sometimes we get a request, we get the answer to our request is a wait. Is a wait. And that's why that title is called Waiting for a Miracle. In fact, most of the time, we have to wait to receive our miracle. Praise the Lord. And one thing is that whenever we receive a wait, it doesn't mean denial. It means that God just wants... He wants to put us through a process. And then I began to think, why would God not just do it? I'm believing God for a child. I'm believing God for another child. I'm believing God for a miracle, you know, that a miracle job would just come out of nowhere. I'm believing God to heal me completely, to heal my mind, to heal my soul, to heal my body. You know, why will he not just do it? I know that it's in his will. It's not contradicting his will. I know I have faith. I believe he can do it. Why? Why, Lord? And then we begin to ask these questions in our mind. God pointed my attention to three things. Number one is until we understand that God is sovereign, we keep asking these questions. God is sovereign. He can choose to do things the way he likes. He can do things when he like. Praise the Lord. And the earlier we realize that, the better for us. Hebrews 2 and verse 4. God is sovereign and does miracles whenever he chooses. Hebrews 2, verse 4 says, and God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders. That's miracles. And various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. What? Whenever he chose. Whenever he chose. Whenever he chose. You can't take that away. If you take that away from God, you have taken what God is using to be God. Because then you can predict him. Then you can toss him around. Then you can mess up with his principles. But I want you all to realize that God is sovereign. If he's choosing not to do it, he has a reason for it. Praise the Lord. And also, we receive a word sometimes. Because there's always a time between seed, planting a seed, and harvesting. How many people will just go and put a seed in the ground today and come tomorrow and come to harvest? Some of you are sowing seed of your time, you know, in the house of God. You are sowing the seed of your talent. You are sowing the seed of money, you know, and you are believing God for a miracle of a financial breakthrough because the word of God says so. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. So you know it's his will, right? But there's always a time. Genesis 8:22. There's always a time in the middle that we forget. It says, why the earth remains, Genesis 8:22, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and the day and night shall not cease. You know, somebody did this illustration in the original translation, and it reads like, while the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. Praise the Lord. So there's always a seed, there's always a time in between, and there's always an harvest. So I want to encourage you. Know that there's a time. Know that there's a time. There's a waiting period in between your seed. Praise the Lord. And that can cause you to wait. It can cause you to wait a bit longer than you would have loved to. Number three, answers to a request for miracle can get delayed through a spiritual warfare in the realm of the spirit. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil is doing day and night. He's moving about, causing chaos. And there's a classic example in the Bible, in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, verses 11 to 13. Daniel, you know, was making a request. Daniel was praying. Daniel was asking for a change. And he says, and he said to me, O Daniel. So this angel appeared to Daniel. And he says, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. So I can imagine Daniel was discouraged. You know, he has prayed, he believed God can do it, but it's taking too long. He says, don't be discouraged, don't look down. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. That was Daniel. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I've come because of your words from the very first day. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I'd been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So sometimes our answers get delayed due to spiritual warfare. We have no clue what is going on in the spiritual realm. But here we are, just waiting, just asking, God, when are you going to do this? When are you going to help me? When are you going to change me? Praise the Lord. But there's a spiritual warfare going on. So I've just pointed your attention to these things as a background to where I'm going this morning. There's usually, most of the time, a waiting period. But it's not a time to give up. It's a time to know that God loves you. It's a time to know that God has a plan for you. It's a time to know that God is sovereign and he will choose to do it when he wants. It's a time to hold on to him. It's a time to keep watering your seed while you're expecting and looking towards that harvest. It's a time to start demolishing and instead of keep, you know, the Bible says we should ask and keep on asking until we receive, right? But while you're doing that, it's a time to start demolishing every attack of the enemy. holding back your answers. Praise the Lord. How many people like waiting? Nobody. We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting. I don't like waiting. Whether waiting in traffic, what about waiting in line at phone packs? We went to the Gold Coast a few years ago, and the kids were excited. You know, they want to go to all these phone packs, and then we'll get there, and then the line will be like, maybe from here to, and it was a bit discouraging. We went in a school holiday as well, and we don't like it. What about the doctor's office? You sit down there waiting for them to come out and call your name, and you are thinking of so many things you have to do at home. We don't usually like waiting. But the truth of the matter is, as we've established this morning, life is just full of waits. Life is just full of waiting periods. Sometimes we wait for that man in shining armor on a horse, coming to sweep off us off our feet. There's a wait. Sometimes we're waiting. We're waiting for a child. Sometimes we're waiting for that dream job. Sometimes we're waiting for God to change that man, to change that woman. Sometimes we're waiting in marriage, just waiting for things to turn around for good. We can't get away from a time of wait. We can't. But I want you to know this morning that while we are waiting, there are some things we can do. While we are waiting for a miracle, and like I said, I'm not going to dwell so much on, what we have established from the miracle series. We need to pray. We need to ask God. We need to have faith. Like that woman with the issue of blood, we need to hold on to that faith. But a waiting period should not be a period when we put our life on hold. It shouldn't be a period when we just kind of, focus on that, what we want, and we are not enjoying, we are not enjoying the journey. We are not enjoying where we are now. So we're going to look at a few things in the lives of people who, we've looked at, or maybe we didn't have a chance to look at during the miracle series, who actually received a miracle but had to wait. What did they do while they were waiting? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 6, chapter 12. Hebrews 6, 12. It says, we do not want to become lazy. Because when you are waiting sometimes, we tend to become lazy. We don't pray anymore. We don't even feel like serving anymore. We don't even feel like, we're just discouraged. It says we don't want to become lazy, but to imitate. Someone say imitate. Imitate those who through faith and patience. You can't have patience without waiting. Who through patience inherit what has been promised. So we're going to look at some of the things these guys did right that we can imitate. And I'm going to use the acronym WAIT, W-A-I-T, because I love to use acronyms. Because it helps us to remember. It really helps us to remember. So the number one thing we do that we can do while we wait is to wonder. To wonder. I'm not talking about wondering whether God is going to do it. I'm not talking about wondering and worrying about things. I'm talking of you never losing the wonder of God's power, never losing the wonder of God's presence, never losing the wonder of God's supernatural ability or what God can do. Let's look at Mark chapter 6. We'll go back to that Mark chapter 6 that we've read before, and I just want to show you something. Sometimes we kind of lose the wonder. When I started, I was talking about the way, pastors are getting discouraged and, 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 uh, and losing hope and closing down churches, you know, and even people who are not pastors leaving churches and stop coming to church. Before anyone stops coming to church, you know, something happens first. They lose the wonder. It's not that person that hurt you. It's not that offense. Because if you still have the wonder of God's, you know, bigness, of God's power, you know, you will know that you are coming to God, not to that person. But if you have lost that wonder, that's when you begin to move back. Praise the Lord. Let's look at that verse again. It says, the next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Remember, we read this before? But I want you to look at verse 4. It says, then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of that, plus their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among healing a few sick people. Because that honor was gone, they just couldn't fathom that he's the king. They couldn't fathom that he's powerful. They couldn't fathom that he can actually do these things that he's doing. Although they are seeing him do it, can you imagine? They actually saw him. He says they were amazed that he is doing all these miracles. He says, how did he have power to perform such miracles? They actually saw the miracles. They know he actually did it, but they lost the wonder. While you're waiting, never, ever, ever lose the wonder. Never lose the wonder of God's love. Never lose the wonder of God's great love. It says the depth, the height, you know, we can't fathom it. Let that wonder keep coming to the surface. Praise the Lord. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of your wonders, there will be too many to count. If you want to begin to think about, you know, the ways where God, you know, the million ways that makes God wonderful, you cannot finish it. So a waiting period is a time to meditate on the goodness of God. It's a time to rejoice with others, speaking, you know, faith-filled word while you are being amazed by this wonder. You know, keep rejoicing. When people come here and give testimony, when people share, you know, what God has done in their life, it should rekindle that wonder of his greatness in you. Praise the Lord. It shouldn't make you feel sad. It should kind of gear up that faith in you again. Praise the Lord. Hold on to the wonder of his promises. Open the Bible and see his promises and begin to imagine, you know, when this thing is going to come to pass. That is the wonder I'm talking about. Spend time thinking about his goodness, thinking about the past things he has done for you, thinking about what is going on around you. Praise the Lord. And like I said, if you look at, we said we're looking at the lives of people who receive miracles, you know, but had to wait. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She started talking to herself. You know, that is what the Bible recorded. It says that he was talking to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. He was being amazed. He was just engulfed by the wonder of Jesus. And that propelled her to move forward, to go and touch him. That's what wonder will do for you. It will push you to the place of prayer. It will push you to the place where your faith will never be lost. Praise the Lord. What about blind Bartimaeus? He kept crying, Lord, son of David, have mercy. Have mercy, son of David, have mercy. You know, he had a revelation of, you know, why did he call him the son of David? Because David was the epitome of mercy. Do you know the kind of crime David committed in the Bible? Recorded in the Bible, but God still used him mightily because he enjoyed mercy. So he must have had a revelation of the wonder of the mercy of God. What about the lepers? Says Jesus, they kept crying, Jesus, Master, have mercy. They had a revelation of him as a master, as the one who can heal. What about Jairus' daughter? What about the centurion? All these things are common to these people. They were waiting for a miracle, but they've been hearing about Jesus. They've been thinking about him. So that when the opportunity finally came, that is walking close to them, they made use of it. Praise the Lord. Let's move on because of our time. Number two, remember we are using the acronym WAIT. Number one is wonder. Wonder and keep on wondering. Don't lose the wonder. Don't lose the wonder of God's power. Praise the Lord. A is activate praise. A waiting period is a time to activate praise. Activate praise. When you activate praise, it drives depression away. It brings you closer to your miracle. Acts chapter 6 and verse 25. We didn't get to this in the miracle series, but this is a very interesting, you know, miracle that happened to the apostles. So let me give you a bit of a background to this story. You can read the background a bit more. The story is in Acts chapter 16 from 16 from verses 16 to 40. So Paul and Silas were going to a place, and this girl, you know, who had an evil spirit, started following them and shouting, "These are the men of God. They have the word of life. They are doing all the right." You know, what the girl was saying was right, but the spirit with which he was saying it was wrong, right? And he followed them. The Bible says he followed them for days. And eventually, Paul looked at her and cast out that devil out of that girl. But that girl brought so much money. It was a slave. She was a slave. She brought so much money to the people who owns her. People are slaves in those days. You know, so he would say things. He prophesies. She sees things in the future and prophesies it, you know. And people will pay, you know, to know what's going to happen to them. But Paul recognized that this was wrong and cast that out. And because of that, the people who owns this girl as slave, you know, gang up against Paul and Silas and got them thrown in prison. Okay? So that's the background to this story. So Paul and Silas were in prison. And verse 25 says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." What? In prison? The Bible says they were bound in chains. You know, the kind of prison they have in those days is not the kind of prison we have now. You see people in prison these days, they're having gym. They have their own gym. They have, you know, they have their own kind of, some of them have, you know, sensitive teeth, and they give them Sensodyne, you know. The ones that we that are not in prison don't even use. That's not the kind of prison we are talking about. This is a dungeon, you know. They just kind of throw them in a dark place. They put chains all around them. How can you sing in such a situation? How can you? But that was what Paul and Silas did. He says they were praying. Not only that, they were singing. They were waiting for a miracle. They were requesting for a miracle, but they were singing hymns to God. Praise the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. He says, "Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there's no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails and the fields produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, there are no cattle in the stalls, yet," everybody say yet. "Yet, I would choose to rejoice in the Lord. I would choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation." This person, nothing was happening for him. Nothing was going right. He's holding on. He's looking. He's praying. He's believing. But he says, "Yet I will choose." So when you, that's why I said it's activate praise. You have to choose to activate it. You have to choose to do it. It's not something that will come naturally. It's the last thing that will come to your mind. But that is what you need to do in the process of waiting for a miracle. Fill the atmosphere around you with uplifting music. Get into your car and turn on some music. You know, sometimes when I'm going to work, I have a very hectic day. I know, you know, I'm not going to have time to do anything. You know, I put on that music and I begin to dance in my car. And I'm looking around. I hope no one is looking at me. Or maybe something discouraging is happening to me, or, you know, there was a time I heard of my mom sick at home, and, you know, I would have prayed for her, but my mind was burdened. But then I kept singing. I kept lifting up my spirit. I refused to let it bog me down. Also, when I was in hospital, when I had my last born, Tito, you know, she came unexpectedly, you know, before the time she was due, found myself in the hospital. And after she was born, I had to spend 7 days in the hospital. And, you know, one thing that helped me through that period, and eventually I had to leave the hospital and leave my baby behind. So it's like, I know the men here won't get it. But for the women here who have had children, you know that, you know, leaving the hospital and leaving your baby behind, it's like you're leaving a part of you. Praise the Lord. But one thing that helped me through that period is the fact that I activated praise. That was when I downloaded, you know, so many songs on my phone. That was when the hospital room I was for 7 days, I kept playing music. Every time the nurses come to the room, they just look at me weirdly. You know, they're like, this woman is in pain, but she's she's singing. They couldn't even comprehend it, you know. I should be downcast. I should be crying, you know, because I didn't even know she was going to survive at that time, you know. But something just welled up in me, you know, that just, you know, I just kept worshiping. I just kept praising God, believing that God is going to make something good out of it. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you here this morning. Let's imitate Paul and Silas when we are waiting for that miracle. Let's activate praise. Let's praise him. Let's worship God. Let's thank him that he's done. And like I said, it drives away depression. You won't be able to sit down and be thinking of, why, God, why didn't you do this, you know? Because you're expectant. And you kind of know that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. So it keeps you alive. It keeps you active. Praise the Lord when you do that. Number three, W-A. And then number three is I, is intentionally find purpose in your waiting. I've mentioned that before. Waiting period is not a time to put your life on hold. You know, people come and tell us, you know, and say, oh, I'm going through this. I don't want to serve for a while. I just want to be on my own. I just want to keep to myself. I don't want to come to church for a while. I need to sort things out. A waiting period for a miracle is not a time. It's not a time to hold back. It's a time to intentionally find purpose in your waiting. Find what you can do while you are waiting. Find who you can bless while you are waiting. Let's look at that story of Paul and Silas again. Remember, they are right there in prison. In Acts chapter 16 again, verses 27 to 34. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled. So the initial slide, when they were praying and singing songs, the Bible says the gates opened, their chains were broken, okay? You know, as they were singing. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he knew they were going to kill him anyway. If you're guiding a prisoner and they escape, that person is gone. But Paul found purpose. He says, Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down. Remember, it's all dark. He ran down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Can you imagine? Right there in prison, Paul and Silas still made converts. Somebody said they walk out of that prison with the keys in one hand and with converts on the other hand. Praise the Lord. That is what we can do in our waiting period. It's a time to be witnessing. It's a time to fulfilling purpose. Waiting time is a time, is not a time to put your life on hold. It's a time to help someone. Throw yourself into service. You know, I love the way Pastor Rick Warren put it. I listened to one of his messages, series Daring Faith. He was talking about something similar to this message. And he looked at the word wait in a different way. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you know, you get a waiter. So someone is a waiter, is waiting on you, right? But, you know, you are the one waiting for your food, right? Why are they calling him a waiter? Because another meaning of wait is serve. So that person is a waiter because he's there to serve you, right? That is what we should be in our time of waiting. Serve. It will keep your mind off. In fact, by the time that miracle happens, you know, you'll be like, okay, so soon? Praise the Lord. Because you are keeping busy. You know, you are helping someone. You are putting your life into something that has a meaning. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 2. Colossians 3 and verse 2. It says, so if you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes on the ground. Don't be discouraged. It says, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look for ways to help people. Look for ways of ministry. Don't just, you know, somebody says, you know, don't live in the trinity of the devil. You know the trinity of the devil? Me, myself, and I. It says, look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. There's a purpose for which you are going through what you are going through. Change that perspective. See what God is seeing. Praise the Lord. And then the T is touch and agree. Wonder, activate praise, intentionally find purpose in your waiting, and touch and agree. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 17. I want to show you what I mean by touch and agree. It says, after, you know, remember we are looking at the people who got a miracle, but had to wait. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, okay, having 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. They are waiting because it actually happens. There's a record that anyone that gets into that water first gets healed. They have seen it happen. That's why all of them are there. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had infirmity, how many years? 38 years. Can you imagine? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? What a question. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. My point this morning is, I have no man. That man will not be in that condition 38 years. If there was someone to carry him, if there was someone to agree with him, if there was someone to lift him up into that water, praise the Lord. Remember the story of the people in the paralyzed man, that his friends. Jesus was preaching in a place. It was all so crowded. But these guys, their friend have been paralyzed for some time. They've been praying, I know. They've been hoping for a miracle. They must have heard about Jesus. But how did they get him in there? They went on the roof. The story is in Luke 5. I'm not sure whether I have it on the slide. Luke 5, 18 to 25. You know, And they took him, they brought him through the roof. Yes. They brought him through the roof. I don't want to read it because of our time, but you can read it when you get home. Luke 5, 18 to 25. These guys brought him through the roof, and Jesus healed this man. And he took up his bed and walked. Imagine if his friends were not there. Do you think that man will have walked? Matthew 18, 19. Matthew 18, 19. Talks about if two, he says, again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. The next slide. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. He says, two people are better off than one. For what? They can help each other succeed. If one falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Praise the Lord. He says three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. How amazing is that scripture? We need each other. That is the purpose of church. We need to support each other. And you know, things going on in the society, you know, people committing suicide here and there, even right in the church. This ought not to be so. So if you are the only one, you need to touch and agree with someone. You need to get in connection with someone. If you are the only one that knows your secret, it's not good enough. Be open, be vulnerable. Praise the Lord. Find someone you can trust. Let people know what is going on around you so that they can support you in prayer, so that they can encourage you. Praise the Lord. That Ecclesiastes 4 talks about when we do it together, we both receive strength. We receive encouragement. We receive success. We receive defense. It says we stand back to back. We receive a greater defense. You know, we receive our faith is added on to faith, you know, so our faith becomes stronger. We don't have small groups in this church. But one thing from the start of this church that we believe is our number one small group is our serving group, the group where you belong to, where you are serving. That is your connect group. That is your small group. Get to know them. You know, if you're a leader of a group, get to know the people in your group. You know, get together outside church. Know what is going on in their lives. Praise the Lord. And Paul and Silas also demonstrated the power of two. You know, I can imagine if it was only Paul in that prison. But the two of them were together. Praise the Lord. Don't bottle things up. Share your struggles. The church is for support. You know, a lot of people get offended with people in the church, right? And that is because the church is not, I wish I can tell you the church is a place filled with perfect people. We are all imperfect people, right? Some of us we got in here before you did. Praise the Lord. You know, we are all in this together. You know, when we come in here, we are not trying to cover up by dressing up, okay? We are looking, we are expectant. We are acting the way we want to be because that is the way God sees us. He doesn't see where we are now. He sees what we can be. And that's why we are dressing that way. Not because we are covering up. You know, somebody, you know, I listened to a message and the pastor said someone came to her and said, oh, I like this church. You know, I just want to share this with you and that. And he shared a secret with her. And, you know, the pastor said, you know, the church you were going before, why didn't you tell someone that you are going through this? He said, oh, no. They can never know. They will look down on me. That is not the kind of church our church should be. We are not to look down on anybody. People go through marital challenges. People go through financial challenges. It's not something to be ashamed of. That is why we are all here seeking God. Praise the Lord. But you need to reach out to someone. You need to tell someone about it. Someone you can trust. Someone you can, and I know there are people in this church that can stand strong beside you. Praise the Lord. Get into service. Get into service, like I said. You know, that is your first point of contact of where you can touch someone and agree with someone. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6 verse 2 talks about us carrying each other's burden, because it says, carry one another's burden, and in this way you fulfill the requirements of the law. That is the law of Christian love. That is what God wants us to do. So many places where people touch and agree in the stories of miracles we've read. In John 4, 43 to 54, the healing of the officer's son. You know, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, Lazarus. If Martha and Mary have not sent for Jesus, will he have been raised from the dead? Think about it. Feeding the 5,000, that little boy's lunch made that miracle to happen. So there's if you look at all those miracles, you can see where somebody actually connected to somebody to get their miracle. That is what we should be doing while waiting. And as I round up this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with these three things. Number one is that God always keeps his promise. Habakkuk 2 verse 3. Habakkuk, he says, at the time I have decided. That is God speaking. My words, I want you to write this word down. If you know, let that remind you that God always keeps his promise. He says, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but what? Keep on waiting. It will happen. Number two, God is working. While you are waiting, God is enlarging you. God is changing you. You are waiting for something, but you are experiencing a greater blessing in the wait. It's changing you. It's transforming you. If you do all those things, you are helping someone. You are reaching out to someone. You are serving. You know, you are not focused on just the problem. Your spirit is lifted. You know, God is enlarging you. Romans 8:22 to 25. It says, all around us, we observe a pregnant creation. When a woman is pregnant, is expectant, right? But is expectant. There's still some time to wait for the baby to arrive. But she's growing bigger while she's waiting. Praise the Lord. He says, the difficult times of pain through the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us. It's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us. It doesn't. Any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become. And the more joyful our expectancy. Praise the Lord. And finally, let's look at Psalm 27, verse 13. I want this to be your watchword. I want you to always remember this word. I may not have received my miracle. I choose to activate praise. I may have pain, but I choose to praise. I may have lost something, but I choose to believe God. I cry, but I'm expectant. He says, I would have lost heart unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and it shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord.